Good evening. Thank you for being here. It is my pleasure to be with you and to see you. We have some who have come for some distance to be with us this evening, and we're happy that you have chosen to do that. Brother Brent Wilson is a member where I preach at Rolling Hills. And he's a glutton for punishment because he hears me all the time down there, and he came here, and so, to hear me again. It reminds me of my youngest daughter. When I was a young preacher, I had a couple of lessons that I did every place I went. I had them memorized, and one of them was the parable of the empty house from Matthew 12. Everywhere I went, I preached the parable of the empty house. And we went to this place, we were on our way, and my daughter Beth was about 5 or 6, and she said, "What's the lesson tonight, Daddy?" And I said, "Parable of the empty house." And she said, "You want me to preach it?" She had it memorized too. And so that is the way it happens sometimes. When you see the term coming out in our culture, it means something different than what it has in times past. Those of the homosexual and transgender community use it to refer to going public with their preferred sexual identity. But long before it meant that, it meant it was used in the Bible to speak of coming out of a life of sin and coming into the fold, coming into a saved relationship with God the Father through the blood of the Savior Jesus. You remember reading in Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. "One of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and from where did they come?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" You may remember in studying the great book of Revelation in chapter 18 and the first 5 verses there, where the people were told to come out of that horrible, sinful city called Babylon. It wasn't really Babylon of the Chaldeans from the old days in the Old Testament, but it was a sinful place, and they wanted to use a word or a name of a city that will make it very clear how sinful it was, and so they called it Babylon. You remember Paul telling the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is clean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, sometimes, the first time I ever preached this lesson, this is only the second time I've ever preached it, it was at Rolling Hills, and I just left the word "coming out" up there on the screen for a while before I explained what it was going to be. And on the way out, a couple of guys grabbed me off to the side, and they said, "We weren't sure what you were going to do when we saw that you were going to talk about coming out. They thought maybe I was going to make some kind of announcement, some sort of shocking announcement or something." I'll assure you that that's not what's going to happen this evening, that will not be the case. What we want to talk about, though, is from where God wants us to come and to where He wants us to go. Of course, verses that we read in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13 and following is a reference to coming out of one condition into another. Traveling. You must travel to be a Christian. Oh, I'm not talking about getting in the car and going from one place to another. You must travel a spiritual journey. You must come from being lost to being found. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. We've been singing for many years. I was blind, but now I see. I have come out of being lost, out of my bondage, sorrow, and care. And I have gone into a safe place. So some of the places from which we are to come and what God has in store for us, what He has promised for us, is what we're going to talk about. First of all, out of persecution and into peace. Persecution in this life and peace in the next life. Revelation 7:13 and following, notice that these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Sweet family of God, people are not going to always understand what you believe and why you believe it. People are not going to always, in our culture and in our world, understand why you say no to certain things. They're not going to understand why you don't allow your children to participate in certain activities. They're not going to get that. They're going to ridicule you and call you names. They're going to persecute you to some extent because of these kinds of things. But we are so looking forward to that wonderful place called heaven, where we will be in perfect peace forever. You remember reading in Revelation 21 in verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking forward to that time when there will be no funeral directors? There will be no need. I have a friend up in Grant County who's a funeral director and the county coroner there. His name is Bob McDaniel. And I was preaching a funeral one time at his place. And I said something like, in heaven, there'll be no need for funeral directors. And he spoke up and said, we won't need preachers there either. There'll be no need for any of that, because it's already going to be sealed. We're already going to have our place of eternity, already going to be at peace. And so out of persecution in this life and into peace in the next. Have you enjoyed a period of peace in your life? If you have, I guarantee that it didn't last for long. You see, family, life on this sin-cursed version of the perfect creation, life in this world could be described as periods of peace between crises. Periods of peace between crises. Is that what your life has been? That's what mine's been. I enjoy these periods of peace, and then I'll start thinking, oh no, I wonder what's going to happen next. Of course, you can't live your life like that. You can't go around worrying about that. But enjoy the peace and pray that it lasts longer each time. But there's going to be a time when we will be in peace forever. Secondly, out of being sin-stained into being pure and white. Revelation 7:14, the last part of the verse, they had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Isaiah 1 and verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. When King David committed adultery and murder and took a man's wife from him and had a child with her in an illicit sexual affair, when the prophet Nathan approached him about it and explained to him that he was guilty of these things, David wrote Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, verse 7, he tells us exactly how he felt. He felt dirty. He felt sin-stained. And he cried out to God, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We can come from being sin-stained. There's not a person, accountable person in this room who has not committed a sin, who is not guilty of sinning and having fallen short of God's glory, Romans 3:23. And so how do we get out of that? We come out and go to a situation where we are pure and white. Now, obviously, I am a large person, and I am in a profession where I wear lots of white shirts. And I do not own one single white shirt that has not in its lifetime had at least one food stain on it. I don't own many ties that have not in their lifetime had at least one stain on them. But I married an angel. And she has superpowers, super stain removing powers. And she can take a big guy's white shirt with spaghetti on it and make it sparkling white. But you know what she does not use to clean those shirts? She does not use blood. You don't put blood on a white shirt and make it clean, family, do you? But Jesus' blood is the only thing, the only thing that'll make these sin-stained souls white. The only thing. And so I need to come out of being sin-stained and into being pure and white, out of darkness into light. Which do you prefer? You prefer darkness or light? Revelation 21 and verse 23 and 25, talking about heaven, talking about that beautiful place, our eternal home. He said, the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. There will be no night there. It's going to be a beautiful place. It's going to be a place well lit, walking out of darkness into light. Paul told the Colossians, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood. There's that blood again. The forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, walk as children of light. You remember Peter saying, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim what? The praises of Him who called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oh, I would much prefer walking in light. John said, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you shall have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will continue to cleanse you of all your sins. I much prefer walking in the light as walking in the darkness. When you pull your car into my garage at home, there are two concrete lips, steps. They're not quite steps. They're about this big. And my wife put reflector tape on them so I would remember when I got out of the car, I could see them and step up. The only problem with reflector tape is it has to have light to reflect. And so if you've, all the lights are out in the garage, and you get out of the car and forget about that first lip, guess what you're going to find yourself doing? Picking yourself up off the ground, off the concrete garage floor. And when you're my age and my size, it's not a pretty sight to be picking yourself up off the garage floor. And so we need light. We prefer light. And so come out of the darkness of this old world. Does this old world seem dark to you? Does it seem sinful and lost to you? Well, it's because it is. It's a dark place, but not for the Christian. We have the light. We walk in the light. We continue our thought, come out of death into life. You may say, well, preacher, I've never felt more alive than I do now. But we're talking about spiritual life. We're talking about spiritual death. Revelation 2 and verse 7, to him who overcomes I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You eat that tree, you can live forever. When that prodigal son came home, you remember that his father made a feast for him. There's some interesting things in that lost boy's story, aren't there? That lost boy parable in Luke 15. When he came home, his father ran out and put a robe on him. I dare say that he was so poor and ragged that he was nearly naked. He'd been gone. He was broke. He didn't have any money. He was feeding hogs. For a Jewish boy to feed hogs was a big deal. He must have been very hungry. And so his dad put a robe on him, probably because his clothes were ragged. He put shoes on him, probably because he was barefooted. He put a ring on his hand. He had sold his probably for food long before that. And we already know how hungry he was, don't we? And so he killed the fatted calf because the poor fellow was so hungry, he was willing to eat hog food and eat with the hogs. And so when he came home, his father said it was right, Luke 15:32, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, Paul says, he made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so when you come out, God wants you to come out of that world of spiritual death. And he wants, the old King James says, to quicken your soul, to make it alive again, to make it living for him again. Save your soul. He wants you to come out of having been lost into being found. Revelation 20 and verse 15. He says, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Again, Luke 15 and verse 32, my son who was dead is now alive. My son who was lost is now found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You remember when you were lost? Those of you who came out of the world and became members of the church maybe years ago, maybe last year, maybe last week. But you still remember that stuff, don't you? You remember reading about when the Apostle Paul would walk through Jerusalem and he would say, I'm the chief of sinners, for I persecuted the church. You remember the Apostle Paul would write about having been an insolent man, a man who was a sinful man, but he thanked God that because of mercy, because of grace, he had become what he was. I was once lost, but now I'm found. God wants me to come out of condemnation or damnation into salvation. Revelation 1:19 in verse 1, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to our Lord. You remember Mark 16, you've quoted it many times, Mark 16 and 15, where the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who believeth not, the old King James says, shall be damned, condemned. And so I need to come out of damnation, be condemnation, into salvation. I need to come from being a slave to being free, out of sin and into righteousness, a slave of sin and a servant of righteousness. Revelation 21 and verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he will be my son. Or Romans 6 and verse 16 and following, where the Bible says that you obey the gospel. You were slaves of sin, but you became servants of righteousness when you chose to obey the gospel. I don't know about you, but I prefer freedom over slavery. I've never been a slave. I was a slave to sin, though, in the sense that this is talking about, and I appreciate freedom in Christ. Having come out of that place and going into righteousness, out of destitution and starvation and into salvation. Revelation 2, verse 17, to him who overcomes, I will give of the hidden manna to eat. You know, of course, one of the greatest illustrations, one of the greatest accounts in the whole Bible of one coming from starvation to salvation is found in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 and following. The rich man lived sumptuously. He wasn't starving. He had plenty of food, and there was a poor man who would love to have eaten crumbs from the rich man's table. He was starving. But the second their spirits departed from their bodies, and the angels carried the poor man to Abraham's bosom, and they buried the rich man, the second that happened, the tables were turned. And the poor man had everything he ever needed. And the rich man had nothing. Nothing but punishment. And so, out of destitution, spiritual destitution, you're spiritually bankrupt, spiritually poor, spiritually lost, spiritually dead, come out of that into salvation, into being saved by the Savior Himself, the blood of Jesus, out of the old life. And into the new. God wants you to come out. Revelation 21 and verse 5. Behold, I will make all things new. You know 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love the thought. I love the thought. In Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, listen to it, even so we also should walk in the newness, newness of life. The older I get, the better the word newness sounds. And the more I wish to be renewed daily, spiritually, Paul said, this old man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed by the Spirit, by spiritual things and in the newness of life. God wants me to come out. He wants me to come out of the promise of everlasting punishment into the promise of everlasting life. Revelation 22 and verse 17, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Matthew 25 and verse 46, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What about you this evening? Does God want you to come out? Well, if you mean does He want you to display a sexually perverted lifestyle for everybody to see in an attempt to force others to accept it, the answer is no. The answer is no. God does not want us parading sexual immorality before others in an effort to try to make it mainstream and try to force others to accept something that the Bible says is an abomination. But if you mean, does God want me to make the transition from the wide, easy path of sin and destruction to the way, the truth, the life as a means of reaching Him? The answer is a resounding yes, He does. He wants me to come out of the life of sin and into a life with Him. What about you? Do you want to come out publicly? Announce your desire to obey the gospel? Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. You want to come out now and publicly announce that you have never obeyed the gospel, or that you have strayed from the path of righteousness, and you want to return? You want to come out and publicly admit that you need the prayers of the church to deal with something that you cannot handle on your own? Well, if that's the case, God wants you. God wants you to come out. Not the way our sinful world says, but to come and make known before this group. We'll meet you as you come up the aisle, if you will but come, as we stand and as we sing.
Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into Thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to Thee.
Jesus, I come to thee out of my shameful failure and loss. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the glorious gain of thy cross. Jesus, I come to thee out of a sorrow's end to thy palm, out of life's storms and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant song. Jesus, I come to thee out of the fear and dread of the tomb. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the joy and light of thy home. Jesus, I come to thee out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold. Ever the glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to thee.
Thank you for your grace.
578.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None as could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.